sing it if you know it.
Oh, come let us worship our King. Come let us bow at His feet.
Sing, come let us worship.
Come let us worship our King. Come let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
Single hero.
Oh, hero of heaven, you've conquered the grave. You've freed every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great. Been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things.
Sing it, I know.
And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great. You have done great things. Oh, hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things, you've done great things,
sing it out,
oh, hero of heaven,
y'all sound good.
You have done great things. Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh, God, you do great things. You have done great things.
We serve a Father that does great things. So we should always seek Him first. His will, His way. It don't work our way. That's where our mess could be turned into a message. Our test could be turned into a testimony when we surrender to God with our hearts and minds inclined to Him. Let's worship.
I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Yes, I know it's true. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. With failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Yes, we know it's true. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can.
So you turn graves.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the better than you. Nothing is.
Now sing it like you mean it.
Oh, there's nothing. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine? Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free, hallelujah. Has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. Broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Sing it out. Declare the grave.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body begins to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave. Yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation. Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who said,
Let's pray together. Holy God, you're an active, impactful, influencing, directing, commanding God. You give us a living faith and a living hope. You know how filled life is for each one of us. All the things that go on in a given moment, a given day, a given week, month, year. Jesus, we know you understand all of the feelings that we have about what we have been going through. And because our faith is not dead, because we're not dead any longer, now that we live, we have a living faith. And you give us the direction, the power, the resource, the imagination, the hope in a future that we're not only looking for, but that's what we need each and every day. It isn't as though we've lived the past week perfectly, just the opposite of that. And as we come to worship you, we want to confess that before you. Because we know that that confession, well, it gives you our imperfection, our faults, our sins. And once we've done that, you're so faithful to us and just. And you take that guilt and that shame and you wash it away. On this day, we do pray for leadership in the world and our country, our own region. There'll be lots up ahead in this coming week. And we want to offer it to you. And ask that as we go through the next week, that you would give us wisdom and discernment. That we might feel your inner prompting. That we would feel your power and your peace and your presence. Jesus, as we desire to worship you both in truth and in spirit today, as we lift you up, I pray that you would lift us up as well to your glory and honor. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's thank our friend Courtney for leading us today. Awesome. Of course, the rest of the gang as well. So you can wave, be seated, hug who's ever seated next to you. I do want to encourage you right now, if you're on live stream, please log on and enter the chat that will be taking place in the service. That'll give you an opportunity to interact with one another as we go through the next few moments, as well as my message this morning. So please log on and join the chat. A big week, more is going on in the refresh area. We're up to $155,000 in participation in that refresh fund. Now is the time for everybody else to join in. I know how it is. Sometimes we think, well, our little bit of money won't make a big difference. It will make a big difference as we aspire towards $180,000. But they are putting carpet down in the sanctuary. That should be finished in this next week. And we've got bathrooms, kitchens, roofs, windows, still up ahead. So thank you very much for your generosity and participating. That's part of what the community faith is all about. It's about us doing together what we could probably not do individually. And that's true about a refresh project, but I believe that that's true about life as well, that we need other people to add into our lives and encourage us and support us, as well as share in what's going on in our life. The youth and children are starting baptism classes, is what we call them. And as we get to the end of that time, it's really a confirmation class. If you're an old school person, that's what we used to call them. The goal is that they confirm and profess their faith in Jesus Christ. And then we'll have baptisms here up front. We'll head to Port Williams and we'll do some immersions there. We're a tradition that doesn't believe mode of baptism is the important thing. The baptism is important. Obviously, the water is important and symbolic as it declares that we have been washed anew, that the Holy Spirit is live and active in us, and that we want a fresh start and a new beginning that comes only in Jesus Christ. Today we're going to hear from a few missionaries. We're going to hear from Gil and Karen. They work with One Challenge Ministries, and they are in Nepal.
It's good to be able to talk with Gil and Karen Nash today. For some of us who aren't totally familiar with your ministry, just a brief description of what you do currently in your mission field.
We've taken on the mission pastor role for our mission agency for One Challenge. There's a lot of aspects to that. We are involved in training our new missionaries. We're involved in coming alongside our furloughing missionaries. At the same time, have continued with our Himalayan ministry focus. Right now, we're involved in two church planting partnerships, one in Nepal and one in Bhutan. And we also do work a little bit with some of our India field as well.
I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And so I come alongside missionaries in our agency, as well as missionaries in other agencies. So people will come like for an intensive as I meet with them, or I also do virtual work.
What kind of challenges have faced you, and how have you overcome them?
We've had some people in our organization start to travel, but it's still been pretty minimal to certain locations. But I don't know if you're following the news, but India and Nepal in particular are having a hard time right now as COVID is surging there. Not being able to travel has been one of the harder things. And probably the biggest way that we have addressed that is through virtual ministry.
One of the things that I've been able to do is to come alongside people. I'm going to be helping to lead some retreats for couples who are coming for refreshment and renewal in their marriages. That's going to be a little bit later this year. So during this time, we've been able to do a number of webinars for people. So we did a number for our folks just as the pandemic started, just to provide care for people, particularly like with anxiety or stress, as well as grief and loss. You know, with the pandemic, all of us have lost something. I've gotten emails from people saying, thank you so much for doing that. You know, this person shared it with me and it was really helpful. So, you know, that's encouraging as well.
And let's just ask the Lord to continue to bless your ministry. Lord, we thank you because you are merciful and you have given prophets, teachers, missionaries to the world to spread your gospel. And we're thankful for the Nashes and their commitment to serve. And Lord, as they continue to serve you in the capacity that you've given them, may your blessing be upon them, and may the name of Jesus be lifted up through their work, through their words, and through their deeds. And we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Gil and Karen, as well as Matt and Michelle, who are in India, those are two different couples that we support. They they are dealing with more than just a surge in India and Nepal when it comes to the COVID virus. It literally is a tsunami. Our missions committee has allocated $1,000 extra for both of these couples so that they can work with the hospitals and the care centers around them to help alleviate some of the suffering and loss that is taking place there. I would encourage you to pray for them each day in the coming week. Someone else to pray for is Belinda Kelly. Stephen Kelly is one of our worldwide missionaries. Rick and I have traveled with him in Germany. His wife fell down from the second story of their house, down the stairs. She's in the emergency room. Stephen is on the other side of the world, and so he texted Rick today and asked that we would pray for his wife, that she'll get proper medical care, and that others in their community can stand by her while he makes his way back home. So let's pray for her. Lord God, you understand us down to the cells in our body. And I ask that your healing hand would be upon Belinda, that you would give the doctors and nurses a great skill as they deal with her. I do thank you for those that in Stephen's place can come around her and encourage her and be with her. Be with Stephen. I know he is emotionally troubled by this, and that you would just watch over him as he travels back home. We want to thank you ahead of time for the healing that you will bring about in Belinda's body. Lord, we're thankful that in our frailty, you meet us. Continue to give her a confidence and a peace. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Sprineys are going to read our scripture passage for this morning.
Good morning, church. This morning we're going to be reading from Luke 10, 30 through 37. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead in the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. The temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed to the other side.
Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same."
An internal journey. Who are we on the inside? We're challenged by the parable of the Good Samaritan. We're challenged to be merciful people, compassionate people. And mercy and compassion are more than just a feeling that we have. It takes action. How good are we at taking action when someone needs help, when someone needs assistance, when someone needs in their life what we have and we can add into their life? We're talking about sanctification, inner transformation. We ask Jesus to be the leader of our life. As we do that, we're saved people. We're regenerated people. We move from death to life, Paul says. And as we live our life, as we move forward in life, we need to lean into the sanctification process, the transformation that the Holy Spirit wants to do on the inside of us. We get changed from the inside out. Now, you know how merciful or compassionate you are. I don't. I think most people, well, we have our moments of mercy and compassion, and then, well, there are those other moments where we're not as sensitive, where we're not focused. We're not engaged, and I understand why that happens. Sometimes when we engage in what's going on, it's a little overwhelming to us. And we're not sure that the little that we have to add in will really make a difference. But I believe that whenever it is an act of mercy or compassion, it's always a great add-in. No matter how large or how small, no matter how long or how focused that is. A great story, a Samaritan, again, a person that is not the one that a Jew would want to engage with. A different ethnic group, a different political group, a different region that Samaritans live in. Jesus asks a great question. Of the three that came by, which one was really the neighbor? Now, we have a little extra that I'll give you today. You can either beat them up, pass them up, or help them up. I wish I thought of that, but I didn't. I'm quoting. But it's true. Isn't that true? Has that not been the issue in COVID? The challenge of mercy and compassion in the last 14, 16 months. Well, are we going to verbally duke it out with one another? Are we going to shame and belittle others who believe differently than we do? Are we going to just pass them up? I'm going to just stay in my bubble and I don't care what happens to the rest of you. Or have we, and I believe that we have we looked around to see who needs some mercy and some compassion, who needs some help and encouragement? And like you, I'm better some days than I am other days. I'm better in some moments than I am in other moments. It has to do with what we're truly leaning into. Are we leaning into being merciful and compassionate people? Now, which one of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked the man. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Yes, now notice, go and do the same. There's no time limit on that, by the way. Yeah, this was written over 2,000 years ago. It has not expired. This command, this recommendation of Jesus, it's still good today. We're supposed to go and do likewise. Jesus said, this is how you know that you're leaning into the process of sanctification. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Wow. Mercy and compassion, well, that's the God we worship, isn't it? The God we worship is a merciful God, a gracious God, a compassionate God towards us. And it's interesting to see that one of the characteristics of God that we're called to reflect to other people is mercy and compassion. God is kind and merciful. He is slow to anger and he's full of love. Are we slow to anger, and are we seeking to be full of love when we're merciful? Yeah, mercy me. I'm listening to my grandma and a Christian rock group on my iPod. Mercy me. Mercy is up to us. God models it for us. God reminds us about it. But it is up to us to lean in and engage in it. How do we engage in being merciful and compassionate people? Number one, we are patient with peculiar people. Encourage those who are timid. Take care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. Try to do good to each other and to all people. Peculiar people. If I say peculiar person, I know a picture of someone pops up in your head. Yes, they are very peculiar. Now, here's my thing about people. People are peculiar treasures. You got to get through the peculiar part to get to the treasure. If you're not willing to be patient in the peculiar part, the uniqueness, let's give it a different term, the uniqueness of another person, we will not mind the treasure that that person could be to us and is as a person. So we need to be patient, and when it comes to peculiar treasures in the picture in your mind, it might be hard for you to believe, but your picture's popping up in somebody else's mind. Isn't it true? Now, in our patience, being patient does a couple of things for us. It gives us a chance to check in. We need to check in, or so to speak, engage with that person and understand, number one, what's their background, and number two, what are they going through right now? Isn't it interesting that we keep bringing with us what we experienced in our family of origin? And we all know that some of that we carry with us each and every day. It has shaped us and molded us into the unique person that we are, the peculiar treasure that we are. And as we stop for a moment, right, we don't want to rush to judgment. We don't rush to judgment when we understand their background and we understand what they're going through right now. And to do that, we have to be patient. We have to be patient to do that. Remember that we're to try to do good to each other and to all people. All people. We should show charity, mercy, compassion to all people. I listened to a great podcast the other day, and this Christian therapist who was on the podcast, she said a great truth. We know how to be compassionate to people on the other side of the world. But we don't know how to be compassionate to the people on the other side of the street. And then she went on to talk about how to hold on to the pain, the discomfort, the loss, the reason that that we're challenged in a moment. We're not very good at doing that. It's way easier to do that with someone on the other side of the world than our neighbor. Oh, it's about our neighbor. It's about our neighbor. We're supposed to do good to all people, to our neighbor, no matter how funny or odd or peculiar or unique they are. You want to be a compassionate, merciful person, be patient with the peculiarity of other people. Number two, be willing to help those that are hurting. And we've learned a lot about hurting in the last year. Again, this podcast went on in parts for almost 2 hours. And mostly what the therapist was talking about is that everybody's hurting. There isn't a person on this planet that has not been hurting in COVID. And so we need to help people who are hurting. And we hurt for a lot of reasons. We hurt because we've made bad choices. We hurt because circumstances around us have changed and not in a positive direction. Some of us are hurting because we're just aging. We're getting old. And we're not just hurting on the outside. It's not just our joints that hurt. Man, our soul hurts. Take what we've had in being locked down and separated, and it's not good for people. God made us to be in community with other people, and I'm an extrovert. I've been on more Zoom meetings than I can count, and I can tell you, it's not the same. It's not the same. Even if it's good, it's not the same. People hurt for a lot of different reasons. We need to find out what the hurt is, and once we find out what the hurt is, then we know how to help them. Be with them. Whenever you, well, that's not written right. Whenever possible, oh, that's not right either. Whenever you possibly can, there you go, it's right on the screen. Whenever you, I typed it out, I can't blame anyone else. I have to blow it up really big because I can't read it out of my Bible anymore. Whenever you possibly can, do good to those in need. And to do good to those in need, we have to look for those who are hurting and discern how to help them. And we should do that. And we've done that as a church. People have done that as individuals. I feel very proud to be your pastor. You guys have done awesome in the last year and a half. Awesome. You have lived this out. You have been merciful and compassionate and gracious and encouraging and practically helpful to a lot of people, both far and near. Far and near. Back to our passage. But when he, the priest, saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side of the road and he passed by him. How many times do we pass by other people who are hurting? Are we looking for them? Are we moving around in our day-to-day life with a sensitivity to who around us might be hurting? Do we engage in the morning and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, as I go throughout the day, prompt me about who is hurting that I might help? And you might be very surprised who that is. I literally was out in the field yesterday, and my neighbor came out, and she's been going through cancer, and I don't know her well, and so we talked a little bit about what was going on with her, and I asked her, can I pray for you? Holy Spirit said, pray now. Ask her now. We had a fence between us and dogs were running around and she was hurting. How can I help her? Prayer is not the last thing we do. It's the first thing we do with people. And that makes a difference. A third thing is that we're people, as we strive to be merciful and compassionate, we forgive others because we've been forgiven. Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus said, shouldn't you be merciful to others just as I have been merciful to you? And the greatest mercy that God extends towards us is that he forgives us of our sin. He extends forgiveness to us. He gives us a fresh start and new beginning. He forgives and he forgets. Doesn't hold it against us. Now, we should forgive others because Christ has forgiven us. But the other reason is we're going to need forgiveness up ahead from somebody. I wish that wasn't so. I wish I could just kind of make some mistakes and then be over it. But a part of the human condition is we keep sinning. We keep making mistakes. We falter and we fail. And we not only need to go to God and ask his forgiveness, but we have to have some conversations with some other people and ask them to forgive us as well. The person who has made no allowance for others will find none made for them. Ooh. And then back to Matthew 5, and they will be shown mercy. We're going to need mercy shown to us up ahead, so we should show mercy to others. A third thing is, I think there's an enjoyment in extending forgiveness to other people. I think it makes me happy and it makes them happy. Doesn't it? Your own soul is nourished when you are kind to others. And one of the greatest kindnesses that you can show to another person is to forgive them. In fact, I think it's a kindness when you go to them and say, I did this, or I said this, or I didn't do this, or I didn't say this. I will work on that. Please forgive me. And that creates a happiness, a meaning. And there is, yes, an enjoyment, a lifting of guilt and shame when we forgive others. We forgive others and they forgive us. And then finally, if we can't get rid of our issues, offer forgiveness and receive forgiveness, then what happens is we become chained to our faults, failures, and sins. Forgiveness frees us. For there will be no mercy for you if you have not been merciful to others. And we all know how true that is. You can't have reconciliation with everybody, but you can extend forgiveness to them. Why? They're peculiar. Why? Because they've hurt me, but they're hurting too. Hurt people hurt people. We extend forgiveness because Christ has forgiven us. And yes, being patient with peculiar people, that's a compassionate thing to do. You're compassionate and merciful when you check in and find out if there's a way to help anyone around you. I think one of the bottom lines in life when it comes to mercy and compassion is, can we admit our fault to someone else, our hurt to someone else, and can we forgive them? And of course, we want them to confess so that we can give forgiveness to them, but you can't always get that. Can't always get that. Yet when we extend forgiveness, we realize that now that hurt does not have power over me any longer. I'm not chained to their behavior, their attitude. As I often like to say, why let them hurt you one more minute? And I'm like you. I know what we do with that hurt. We keep playing it over and over and over and over again in our lives, and then we feel more bad feeling. The way to offload that is to extend forgiveness, and you'll discover that the person you've been merciful towards and compassionate towards is yourself. Let's pray together. Lord, as I often pray, give us eyes to see, patiently see those that are peculiar. Lord, we pray that you'd give us a mind, heart, and soul that we can feel the hurt of other people so that we might help them. Put them on the screen of our life. Lord, as we have hands and feet to move forward, the greatest and compassionate thing we can do is to give people a break. To confess. To ask for forgiveness. To hear the confession of someone else and bestow forgiveness on them. Lord, we know that the greatest test of your love in our life is that you forgive our sins. Lord, help us to go throughout our day loving other people as you love us. And so we pray these things in your name. Amen. It is a second commandment for a reason. Patience, helpfulness, forgiveness, it's divine. And that's why we need to love God with our heart, mind, soul first. Because it is a divine thing that we endeavor to do in our mercy and compassionate of other people. We want mercy and compassion, so we ought to love our neighbor as we want to be loved. Amen.